I'm Debbie Lang, a top New Jersey realtor with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Fox & Roach Realtors. I'm available to help you with all your real estate needs in Central New Jersey. Please email me at deb@thevoiceofrealestate@gmail.com. You can also call me at 609-213-1900. Not looking for a home in New Jersey? I can refer you anywhere in the United States. I'm happy to help you. I'm here for you. Good Sunday morning to you. This is Debbie Lang, the voice of real estate on 920 The Jersey, the all-new Fox Sports here in Central New Jersey, broadcasting in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. Well, here on the Voice of Real Estate, we always have experts in their field that will enlighten you, educate you, and inform you on the latest news and trends relating to real estate. And I'm honored to have in the studio today Jonathan Schenck of Greenleaf Painters, LLC, owned and operated by him. He's a master painter. He formed the company 10 years ago, whole decade in 2006, drawing on his several years of apprenticeship experiences with companies in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. And we're going to talk about interior design trends in paint and everything you always wanted to know about painting but was afraid to ask. And Jonathan has such an interesting background because he is the son of missionaries, which I absolutely love because one of my missions is to end homelessness in America. I just came back recently from California and in Santa Monica on the beaches because the weather is quite beautiful there year round. I saw a lot of homeless people, and last summer I was in San Francisco and I saw a lot of homeless people in San Francisco. So one of my missions is really to contribute and to help to end homelessness in America. Nobody should be homeless. Our country gives billions of dollars outside of this country, and right here in America we do have people that are homeless. So I really have a lot of admiration for your parents that were missionaries in Africa, which is really cool that you were born in Somalia and you lived in Kenya until the age of 12, which is really kind of cool. And you were a newspaper reporter and I was a former reporter. We have that journalism background. And I think it's a beautiful thing. And you were also a Presbyterian pastor. So you bring some real spiritual energy to your homes that you paint. So welcome to the Voice of Real Estate.
Thank you, Deb.
Jonathan,
it's good to be here.
It's really good to have you here. It's actually really kind of cool. So I heard that the neutral Pantone color came out this year by one of our very popular paint companies. I think the popular paint companies are Benjamin Moore, which is owned by Warren Buffett, my granddaddy, who owns my company, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. And it's an interesting color because it's a taupey beige. They have a name for it, right? What is that color called?
The 2016 color, Simply White. Is that...
No, I'm thinking about this like taupey beige. Oh, maybe Sherwin Williams came out with that color. But I think Benjamin Moore has a sister color to that as well. Those are the two top paint companies you work with. What are your favorite paint companies? Painters don't like using the big box store paint from like Behr, from Home Depot. Although some of them, the higher quality is not that bad. But people don't like the Home Depot or the Lowe's paint. So what are your favorite paint companies that you, and it better be Benjamin Moore is one of them. Because that is my papa company's, one of his companies. But no, that's okay.
Sure. No, we do prefer Benjamin Moore and Sherwin-Williams. And although we do get requests from customers, sometimes we'll go with their direction. Sometimes they do prefer using paints from some of the big box stores. But we, our preference is Benjamin Moore and Sherwin-Williams.
And is there a color that you're painting as a neutral now? Is there a standard color that you're seeing now for 2016 going into 2017, a color that will take a family from this decade into the next decade, you know, and for the next 10 years?
Well, there's some of the neutral colors like Bleecker Beige or Edgecombe Gray. Those are some sort of off-whites. The Edgecombe Gray has a tint of gray in it, and that can be something that can work if you're hanging different pictures or you have different upholstery. Can work with a variety of things that you're going to have in the room.
Well, do you like painting the trim, the wood trim and the doors, a contrasting color? I find that it's very boring if you paint everything one color. I'm seeing a little bit of color on the walls, not necessarily just white, but, you know, the gray tones and the what do they call that? Grope or... When you combine gray and beige, what do you get? What is that called? Does it have a name?
No, but you could make up one. Grope sounds pretty good.
Grope, I don't know. Some kind of color. I think it's not taupey and it's not gray. It's somewhere in between.
Yeah, well,
but anyway, do you recommend painting the contrasting colors,
sure,
the trim and the doors?
Usually we have, we'll have a contrast and... Also, with the different sheens, you can have a contrast. So with the walls, there might be a flat sheen, and then with the trim could be a semi-gloss. But we do work with designers, a lot of designers, and some of them do like to have the same color. You might have like a light green or a light blue on the walls, and then for the crown molding, sometimes we'll actually paint that with the same color, not the crown molding, but say the chair rail. We might have that the same color as the wall, but with a higher sheen, so it does stand out a little bit. So,
and I'm seeing a lot of different colors. When I travel around the country, and I recently just went to the Berkshire Hathaway Summit for the top real estate agents in the country, and we went on a luxury collection tour. So it was very interesting what I noticed, and it was quite frankly amazing. And really a good idea, where you see all the neutral tones on the walls and the floors and in even the cabinetry, but then the pop of color comes into the art and the pillows on the beds or the couches and that sort of thing, and the accessories in the room. So you could really shift out and change the color, because now the very deep tones are coming in, the navies and the bright oranges. I'm still seeing that being introduced to blend with the neutral colors. I think that's always been the case. But no more do we paint these walls really orange, bright orange or navy. It really makes a room darker. You still want to see the lightness. Everybody wants to be lighter these days. There's too much heaviness in the news out there, so we want to make our home lighter. But you could always bring that beautiful contrast of a pop of color. And also, we used to guide our clients to keep things pretty much the same, like, you don't see anymore where people put in carpeting. It's one color in the hallway, then every room has a different color carpet. You don't see that anymore. The floors generally seem to be very similar, and now the walls tend to be similar. You don't see a lot of different colored walls in different rooms. Psychedelic, you know, you don't like that.
What we'll do sometimes is we'll start with the base color, which could be an off-white, and then if we move from room to room, we can kind of just deepen the shade so it's still in the same family. And it's not too chaotic.
And I think it looks more harmonious, too.
Yeah.
I think it's much more harmonious when it just sort of subtly changes, right? So when it blends kind of like that. Do you run into a problem where the kitchen runs into the family room? You never know where to stop the paint, too. Do you ever run into that, where one room runs into the other?
Some of the homes, there's no demarcation. Yeah, it's all contiguous from one place to the other.
So what do you do in that case?
Well, that's when we probably would go with the same color throughout. And sometimes the ceilings are that way too. The ceilings just go on and on and on. So even if there's only one section of the ceiling that needs to be painted, that can be a challenge to know where to start and stop.
You really have to do both rooms or keep it going. It should be harmonious and continue. So we talked a little bit about the flat paint, but there's also eggshell. So what's the difference between the two, and what are most people doing, and why would you even use eggshell instead of flat?
Well, one thing that's developed in recent years is, so you have the flat paint, which is a preference that some people have, but then it doesn't clean up very well. And then it's hard to clean. It shows all the marks. And then you have the eggshell, which is easier to clean. And but it can show, some people don't like it to be that shiny as an eggshell. And it can also highlight any kind of imperfection, which isn't great for an older home. And so they've developed a sheen that's in between the two, called a matte finish, which has the best of both. It has a flatter look, and it's also cleanable. So that's, a lot of people are going with the matte look. But we do have, like I said, we do work with a lot of designers, and different designers have different preferences. So sometimes with one designer we work with, she likes to take a room in the house and paint the walls high gloss, ceiling and walls high gloss with maybe a light blue color. And same with the trim, just to have a really shiny look. So we do that sometimes, or sometimes with a designer or even the customer. They'll want to have the trim in the doors, not just a semi-gloss, but also with a high gloss.
That's very interesting. That gives it a lot of interest.
Yeah,
I would say. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that Mr. Clean sponge to clean up marks on the flat paint? Does it take the paint off?
It has mixed results. Yeah, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Right, depends on what you get on the walls.
Yeah,
when you have little sticky fingers, little kids, you know, little rug rat. You never know what you could get, or you get this one artistic child that decides to do a mural. In their room.
That can be really hard to get off, depending what the marker they're using.
On The Voice of Real Estate, we love to talk about trends, and things are shifting a little bit with green paints, and there's oil versus latex. Let's discuss that right now and what's going on with paints.
Sure. That's been a big shift in the last 10 years. When I first came in, it was very hard to find the green, the low-odor, environmentally friendly paints, and we would need to get it shipped from a warehouse in Brooklyn. The product wasn't quite, it was more expensive and it was harder to work with and it didn't hold up as well. But in the last 10 years, the whole industry has shifted in that direction. So now most of the paints that you'll get for interior paints are green paints, even from the box stores. Every store out there, it's just automatic that you'll get these high performance, competitively priced paints, and so that's been really exciting to see. And that's because they discovered that not just the oil paints, but the latex water-based paints also had these compounds. It's called volatile organic compounds, VOCs, that had off-gassing, which were harmful. And even after the paint was on the wall and dry, there was still off-gassing happening. So that's been a very big shift. And every painter out there, for the most part, is now using green paints for the inside. We still have, for exterior painting, we prefer using oil primers, oil-based primers. They hold up much better, and those would not be considered classified as green paints.
With the weather outside, you'd need to have that for exterior painting.
Especially for the primers.
Yes. Yeah, and is that why you're called green leaf painters?
Yes, when we first got started, that was our focus and our emphasis.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And now it's become prevalent and predominant in the industry, which is really, really interesting. And in 1978, they stopped using lead paint. Lead became a little dangerous when it started to chip, particularly in the poverty-stricken areas where little children didn't know and they would eat that for dinner. The chipped paint, which was very poisonous and very toxic, and there were other things about lead paint that were toxic. So now, here in the state of New Jersey, we have disclosures that we offer to buyers, and they usually are informed whether a home has lead based paint or not. How does somebody know about that? Let's talk about the lead-based paint. That's a really big issue.
It is, and that's also been a shift within the last 5-6 years where anyone working in homes, contractors, painters, were all required to be certified, lead certified. So we are a lead certified firm, and we have our painters are certified to work with lead. And that's because any home that was built pre-1978, we assume that lead was used in the painting process. And so we're trained in how to work safely with the lead. And sort of the snapshot of that is just we need to find ways to control the dust and the chips as we're working so that we don't let that escape into the air.
So what do you do? Do you have to sand it down, or do you just paint over it? How is a home deemed safe if it had lead paint in it?
There's different extremes. Sort of the more minor way of addressing it, which most homeowners are fine with, is just to work with it safely. So a lot of the homes by now have had multiple coats of paint over the lead paint in subsequent years, because lead has not been in the paint, you know, since 1978. But when we're working with the paint, if we're scraping off some of the loose paint, then we're going to get to the bottom layers. That's why we have to control the dust and the paint chips. So that's how we just want to use plastic and masks and just take precautions when we're working with it. We do have some homeowners that do not want to have any lead even in the base layers, even though that's not going to be exposed. They want to get rid of that. So we did have, and then you can take more extreme measures. You can strip it all off, and you can't use power sanders that are going to generate dust, but you can have sanders that vacuum the dust as you're sanding, or you can use chemical strippers. And so we have done that. We've actually stripped all the paint off to the bare wood. We have removed plaster walls that had lead in the walls and rebuilt the wall. And there's also primers that you can purchase that are called encapsulating primers that will encapsulate the lead. So there's different ways that we can address it.
So interesting. When you mentioned the vacuum, have you removed popcorn ceilings with that vacuum? That's a really interesting process, because a lot of these homes and townhomes that were built in the 80s to cover imperfections done by the builder, an easy way to make the ceiling look textured was to put on a popcorn ceiling, but now it's just so out of style. People hate popcorn ceilings. Do you work with that?
We get a lot of that request. Yeah, we get very few requests to put on the popcorn, but a lot of requests to get rid of it. And no, we haven't used a vacuum, but sometimes if you just get it wet, it'll come off, and we can scrape it off.
Oh, really?
Or we can...
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. It was a clean way to mm-hmm. remove popcorn ceilings. You may want to look into it. I heard about that. It's sort of a vacuum process where you can actually vacuum it off. There's a certain process.
So you just suck it off of the ceiling.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting mm-hmm. because most of the millennials buying these homes that were built in the 80s with the popcorn ceilings, they don't like it. It's just a style that really dates a property. So let's talk about the safe disposable of paints. You know, a lot of times homeowners will leave the paint buckets in the basement, or if they don't have a basement, in the garage, if they don't have a garage, in a storage room, so that you could match the colors for future. It's kind of cool now with technology. You can bring a paint chip into a paint store or a big box store, and their computer will try their best to match up touch-up paint so that you don't have to repaint a whole entire room if you're getting it ready for sale. I know that you just can't put that on a moving truck, especially if you're going interstate across country or shipping your goods. So what is the safe disposal of paints and recycling paint thinner, recycling of all these things? So
sure. Yeah,
what
they're
is
very
necessary?
Specific,
yeah,
specific
it's
guidelines.
Really important to know about this today.
With the water-based latex paints, it's pretty simple. Any homeowner can easily dispose of them. All that's required is they need to be in a solid form. So you open up the lid, and you can mix it with mix in some sand or even kitty litter, and that'll help to dry it out. And once it's dry and solid, then you can just put it in a regular trash container.
Oh, that's interesting.
However,
most people don't know that.
Yeah, if you have oil-based paints, that's a different process entirely. And a lot of townships have these toxic waste days, and that's where you would bring it to the township, and they would dispose of it safely. With our own company, we use paint thinners to when we're working with oil-based primers. So we have paint thinners, and we in-house recycle that ourselves, where we have different buckets where we sift it and let it sift through until we can actually reuse the same paint thinner once the dirt and sediment settles down to the bottom. So we recycle it in-house.
That's great. So which brings me to, how long is a can of paint good? So obviously, if you have very little paint left in the can, it's going to dry up. How long does that usually last?
If it's stored in a way that it's not going to freeze, it can last for a long time.
What's that? And what's a long time?
Five, 10 years.
And the color doesn't change? So that if you need to touch up in your house, that color won't change?
It's often better to have that original paint, but because even if you know what the color was and you get it mixed up, even the next day, there might be just a little hint of a shift. And so we really prefer when customers do have an original can of paint. And it's pretty easy to tell whether it's still good or not. If it's kind of chunky or hard, then you know that it's gone bad.
Is there a trick you should really like use a hammer and just bang it back? You know, there's a trick to keep it closed so air doesn't get in there.
Keep it closed, but don't get a hammer that's going to be too harsh on it, because sometimes it develops rust if it's been open and closed too many times, and then it's almost impossible to actually get the lid off because the rust grows around it.
And now they make all kinds of great tools that you can use so you get straight lines, which is kind of cool. And have you done that, where you can actually paint a design? At one point in the 90s, faux painting was very much in style. And you see all kinds of now, you know, textured walls. You've seen suede paint, these different types of paints. What have you been working with lately? What's trending?
We do, we have requests to do striping. We don't get a lot of requests to do faux painting, but
I think that's passé now.
We recently worked on a loft on Nassau Street in Princeton, and for the long hallway in the house, we did gradations of color striping, horizontal striping from the bottom on up, and that looked really good. Sometimes we've done vertical striping with actually the same color, but alternating sheens, like from a flat to an eggshell. So it's the same color, but you see a subtle hint of a shift in striping.
I love that.
I love that.
And you know why I love that? Because wallpaper is sometimes hard to take down if you don't prime the walls prior to. You don't know if the previous homeowner, if you're buying a new house and it has wallpaper that you can't stand, that you don't like, it just does not match anything you have, or the colors are not right, or it just becomes not fashionable anymore. It's not trending anymore. So paint is wonderful, because if you can do that with the stripes, and then that's so easy to paint over. It's just a subtle difference. I love that trick. What are some other tricks that you do?
Well, we have a lot of requests, like you were saying earlier, just to lighten up the home. So we have a lot of requests to paint over dark cabinets. So we're doing a lot of painting of kitchen cabinets from a dark stained color to a white or an off-white. Even with stained handrails, we're getting requests to, say, paint the top handrail black and the spindles from a stain to a white. So those are some of the recent requests we've been getting, and sort of a shift. And with wallpaper too, for a while there, we were only getting requests to take it down, but now it's coming back, but it's more as an accent. So we might do a powder room, or even an accent wall with wallpaper. And there's some really exciting designs in wallpaper, and it can look really great.
That's great. It really is so interesting. And what kind of special paint do you need to use on the cabinets? Because you can't just use a regular paint. There's a special kind of paint, and you have to strip the cabinets first?
The cabinet painting is very labor-intensive. It's quite involved, but that's where we would bring in an oil primer. That's where we would bring an oil primer inside, because you need to make sure something's going to adhere to transition from the stain, and that the stain's not going to come through. And there are special cabinets paints out there. It doesn't have to be oil based. Some of them are oil based, but there's some really good hybrid paints that are sort of hybrid of oil latex that lay very nicely and look just like a factory finish if we spray it on. So we can make a cabinet look just beautiful and hold up for the long haul.
You can spray it on.
We can spray it on.
Really? Yeah. That makes such a difference. You know, I walk into these houses that are very dark that were made to look that way, cozy, and then also paneling. You know, these homes, it was so big in the 70s to put paneling in. What can you do with paneling? And what type of paint do you have to use on paneling to lighten up a room?
It's a similar process with the kitchen cabinets. We would use an oil primer to cover over the stain. And then we can do a latex paint on top of that. Or sometimes we just take the paneling off. So we can go. We can go either way.
You can do that. You actually, your team can do that.
Yeah,
it's actually to the team.
Yeah, we have carpenters. We have handymen on our team as well. So
fabulous.
Sometimes we'll put in crown molding, switch out doorknobs.
That's great.
Baseboards.
These
like
little
that.
Touches make such a difference to update your home. 70s, we had paneling, and then in the 80s, stained wood trim and stained doors, solid wood doors, were very popular. And again, the millennials and the Generation Xers, they just don't like that. And it's such a shame to paint over nicer wood trim and doors, but it really does lighten up the house and make such a difference in terms of making your home a lot more contemporary and inviting and appealing for yeah. the next homeowner to make your home sell.
Yes. We recently did, when we painted a house, and we did what's called, what you referred to, a pop of color. We did that in the closets. All the closet interiors, instead of just a standard white or the room color, we had a very nice sea blue color in all the closets, and it looked
How
awesome.
Interesting. You know, I met a painter recently that said he doesn't paint inside closets. I'm like, are you serious? How could you not? Because over time, that gets worn out. The boots, the shoes, they knock against the wall. If you're going to repaint a room, you might as well do the whole thing. That's how I feel. You know, do 110% or just don't do it at all, right? Don't you feel that way?
Sure, yeah.
You know, you always paint the closets, I assume.
You want to get it freshened up and just start fresh. And the best time to do it, obviously, is when someone's moving in or especially moving in before everything's unpacked. That's the best time to get it all done.
Right, but if people live in the house and they want to get their home painted while they're living there, you can easily move the furniture right into the middle of the room and get it prepped and ready to do. It's not a hard thing to
do. And it gives the homeowner a good reason to kind of sift through things and
purge.
And purge, yeah.
Good time to purge. Less is more. They always say that. So from pastor to painter, fabulous. It really, Jonathan, you're amazing. It's really great. So you bring positive energy by changing the environment in a home, and it's
yeah.
very interesting.
I enjoy working with my team. I have some great managers, great painters, and we have a lot of fun together.
Well, that's really yeah. important. Well, it's a lot of fun having you on The Voice of Real Estate.
It's good to be here, Deb. Thanks.
Yeah. So if you need a fall cleaning, not a spring cleaning, and you're ready to purge and give your home a fresh look from the inside out, whether you're selling it or you're keeping it and you're staying there, Jonathan of Greenleaf Painters is the one you want to call. And he has a great website, greenleafpainters.com, and he's available. So thank you for being here, and you go out there and make it an absolutely beautiful fall Sunday. I am Debbie Lang, the voice of real estate on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. I'll see you next week at 9.
I'm Debbie Lang, a top New Jersey realtor with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Fox & Roach Realtors. As a 5-star award-winning professional for over 25 years, I can help you with all your real estate needs. Whether you need to sell your home or want to buy a home, call me to find out why now may be the right time to make a move. My number is 609-213-1900, or you can email me at deb, the voice of real estate, at gmail.com.